Cairo Knights. How are you guys doing on this lovely evening? It's crazy about that plane crash into Elliott Bay that Tom was just talking about. It's a thing of mine that I have in my head that I can't get out. I secretly want to be a pilot. By the way, hi, my name's Jonathan. Weird. I want to be a pilot, but it's because I hate flying on commercial airlines because I'm a control freak and I hate ceding ultimate control of my life over to the pilots in the front.
What do you think about the AI pilots coming in the future?
The AI pilot, I mean, aren't they already kind of here? I mean, they have autopilot. I've talked to commercial airline pilots who have said, like, yeah, basically I take off and land. All the stuff in the air is pretty much just me keeping an eye on things, making sure everything's okay. I'm pretty much just sitting there hoping that things don't go bad. But this is the reason I never have ever considered actually getting a pilot's license, is because of stories like that. You're actually 17 times more likely to die from crashing in a small engine plane than you are in a car. You would think cars are still more dangerous, but actually cars are way less dangerous than small engine planes. And then cars are way more dangerous than jumbo jets. So it's, I don't know, it's weird. Weird. Of course, the most dangerous form of transportation is a slingshot, a trebuchet, just getting in there and then it just flings you at the next town. You shouldn't do that. Not anymore. Even just, if you have a good helmet.
Or a parachute. Matter. Just don't trust it.
Or a parachute. If you have a trebuchet and a parachute, that could be a fun Saturday, so long as you've been drinking enough. All right. I want to talk about this real quick before we get into anything remotely serious. YouTube TV last night during the Celtics Heat game, apparently towards the end of the game, crapped out. And I was sitting here during commercials watching the game, and it kept replaying an ad for The Little Mermaid over and over and over again. And I thought, oh, okay, stupid phone isn't working right. So I like reset my phone and then went back to it. It was still like not working. So I stopped the app, started the app again, still not working. Then I go online and everybody's complaining about the same thing. Now, here's what worries me about this is I like the NBA, but I'm a much bigger football fan. And YouTube TV now has the rights to like NFL Red Zone and a lot of NFL games. So I'm a little bit worried is what I'm saying, that they're not ready for the NFL season. The only thing that gives me solace is the fact that I watched the Super Bowl on YouTube TV and it was fine. But I swear to God, if I have to sit through a Little Mermaid commercial for 10 minutes waiting to see if Patrick Mahomes completed that pass or if it was an interception or whatever, I'm going to be pretty angry.
I'd like to pile on to this because today I wanted to watch the PGA Championship and it was blocked. You can only watch it if you had a subscription to ESPN Plus. And I don't know how that helps the PGA or anybody who wants to have... That's a major championship. There's only 4 a year, and you're going to make one of the days on a pay-to-watch site.
Well, that's what the NFL is doing next year, is they're going to have... I think there's a regular season game, but it's definitely a wild card game. In the playoffs is going to be on Peacock exclusive. You can only watch it on Peacock. Now, if you
But Peacock
live
does
in
have a free
this...
plan.
Yeah, I guess so, but I still got to download it.
Oh, no.
Actually, I think I have Peacock, but I think like most people who have Peacock are like, I don't ever watch that.
It's one of my top three platforms.
You actually like Peacock?
Yeah, it's got Pawn Stars.
Okay.
I mean, but my list, my watching preferences are a little weird.
Apparently, because you're still watching Pawn Stars in 2023. Haven't most of those people been, like, convicted?
No.
Or is it only Chumley?
Just Chum. I think he's the only troubled one.
All right. Moving on. Whenever we talk about AI, I always, always say that the main problem isn't that it's better than humans. The problem is we think that it's better than humans. And to illustrate that point, this is something that happened at Texas A&M. Dr. Jared Mum, a campus rodeo instructor and a teacher of agricultural classes, reportedly sent students an email on Monday telling them that you'd be getting a zero on recent assignments because he did this crazy thing where he was like, I don't know if these kids are actually as smart as they're leading me to believe. So he crammed their essays into ChatGPT and asked ChatGPT, hey, did you write this? And ChatGPT wrote back, yeah, yeah, I wrote these. I wrote that. I wrote this. Sure. He wrote in the email, quote, I copy and paste your responses in ChatGPT and it will tell me if the program generated the comment. And it did. A partner of his who spoke to Rolling Stone said that the instructor, when confronted with the evidence from students that they had written their own papers, they were like, look, here's the evidence. There's my first draft. Here's some handwritten notes. I definitely did this. Dr. Jared Mum said to these students, I don't grade bull. So he's open-minded and seems like a delight. According to the college, no students failed the class or were barred from graduating as a result of this issue. The professor is working with the students to determine whether AI was used to write their assignments, and if so, at what level. The diplomas, however, will remain on hold until individual investigations are completed. So here's the problem with that. ChatGPT, it is recognized by anybody who knows anything about it, is not good at telling you whether it wrote something or not. ChatGPT will tell you firsthand that it is not artificial intelligence in the way that we think of it. It's just a language learning model, and it doesn't know jack. So it's not able to really discern and investigate and figure things out. And I just want to say to this professor, because I'm sure he's listening, I'm sure he's a big fan, you couldn't determine if it was plagiarism or not, because that's how good of a professor you are. You couldn't tell whether it was plagiarism or not from your students. So you use ChatGPT to help you do your job, but you're mad at your students because they allegedly did? Seems a little hypocritical.
He's not the only one either. There was discourse about our buddy Ja Morant, big fan of the show, that his apology was used by ChatGPT that he issued recently. And
see, so Ja Morant, who was filmed for the second time, waving a gun around erratically and being an idiot, is a very famous, very successful basketball player whose career is in jeopardy because, again, he's a moron. He apologized for that, and I got to tell you, though, Max, that really did read like it was written by ChatGPT.
Well, what could he say at that point?
I'm an idiot, and I'm sorry, and I need to get help. I realize that I am somebody that kids look up to, and I shouldn't be such a bad example. I'm working on myself. I'll get better.
Well, what are you doing here? He got a $200 million contract. I think you need to be his PR director.
Look, that's what you need in a PR guy, is somebody who's screwed up so much in their life that they know exactly what to say in bad situations. But back to this professor. I think this guy should be fired. Like, now. I think he was looking for a reason to fail these kids. I think that he is over his head when it comes to being a professor. And he's out to ruin their lives based on absolutely nothing. Like, they literally presented evidence to him. I'd feel differently, but they came back to him and were like, look, here's the evidence that we didn't use ChatGPT. We didn't use AI to write this. And he went, I don't care. I don't care. But this is the problem with what we call AI now, which, again, is not actual artificial intelligence. It's just an advanced algorithm. It's not nearly as good as people think, but it's good enough to make you think it's as good as you think it is. It's a paradox. Its skills cover up its obvious shortcomings. It's, you know what, to make this into terms that my buddy Max would understand, to just make my analogy clear here, it's like a draft bust in the NFL. ChatGPT is Ryan Leaf or Jamarcus Russell or, God forbid, Dan McGuire. Sorry to peel back that wound.
Yeah.
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah, yeah. It's in the past.
That's what it is. ChatGPT is that. It is good enough to make you think that it's great, but it's not great and it never will be. That's as good as it ever is. It's on one level, it's very fascinating. Oh, my God, it's so good. But once you actually put it to the test, you realize, oh, this thing is not that good. Under stress, under pressure, it just threw three interceptions. And we gave it a DVD of plays to watch at home, and it didn't do it. Anyway, people are debating what should be done about this and are saying the kids should have to redo the work and prove that they can do it because they didn't actually use AI to write their essays. And I say, screw that. That's not fair to them. They should just have a competent professor grade the damn things instead of one that seems hell-bent on finding fault. And I know you might be saying, but Jonathan, you don't understand how common cheating is using AI these days. It's a nightmare for teachers. I'm sure it is. I truly am. I you will not find anybody who has more sympathy for teachers than me. I'm sure it's a nightmare. I'm sure it's awful. But that doesn't excuse somebody from assuming that all of his students are cheating. And then when presented with evidence otherwise, rejects it. He goes, nah, I don't believe you. I don't believe you because I can't to have so little faith in the people that you're teaching that you assume that they're lying to you over and over again is not a sign of a good teacher. It's a sign of somebody who, well, should just be sticking to teaching rodeo classes.
What course did he teach? What's the subject?
He taught agricultural classes, but also was a campus rodeo instructor, which it's Texas A&M, so I'm sure, you know, rodeo clown classes are probably a doctoral thing. Anyway, next story. This is a fascinating debate, and I'm not sure where I'm at on it. Headline. Parents hope to keep Tennessee school shooters' dangerous and harmful writings secret. Now, you might remember back, 972 mass shootings ago, that there was a mass shooting in Tennessee at a school, the Covenant School. Horrible thing. Bunch of young children were murdered. Ended the lives of 3 9-year-olds and 3 adults. And parents whose children attend that school filed a motion on Wednesday seeking to keep the shooter's writings from being released to the public. In a Monday letter to Nashville Police Chief John Drake, House Republican Caucus Chairman Jeremy Faison said, we need to release those notes. We need to release that manifesto. He said, quote, it's critical to understanding the shooter's behavior and motives before lawmakers convene for a special session where they are expected to consider a proposal to remove firearms from people judged dangerous to themselves or not. Police, which, by the way, like, it's just such a ridiculous thing that they're even like, we need to have a special session to see if crazy people should be allowed to own crazy dangerous firearms. Let's debate that. How is that even a debate?
Yeah, give me a copy of Mein Kampf, right?
Right. I swear to God. No, you don't. I swear to God. 80% of Democrats and 75% of Republicans are for red flag laws, meaning making sure that people who are mentally unstable don't own guns. But in Tennessee, they have to have a special convening of the legislature to even debate it. And I guarantee you the debate will end with them going, nope, 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 nope. Suddenly my bank account got much bigger during this debate. And oh boy, those campaign funds, they're just coming in really hardcore from the NRA. So nope, I'm against it. But anyway, I'm not sure where I stand on this. Not on the red flag laws. Obviously, I'm for them. But as far as releasing the diaries and manifestos and journals of mass shooters, because on one hand, isn't that what they want? They want what they've done to be puzzled over and unforgettable. And that just solidifies it if we release those. No one writes a manifesto to keep their thoughts private. This is what they want. On the other hand, we've released other killers' writings, and I feel like as the public, we have a right to know how their minds work. Now, I don't know if there's a way to limit that only to academia, where only they can read the writings, but I don't think you can. I think you have to release it to the public, or you don't.
That's how that whole FBI
Freedom
branch
of speech thing.
Well, in the
oh yeah,
you know, if you ever watched Mindhunter, based off of how they came to classify serial killers and things of that, it's because of that literature.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, great show.
Amazing.
That Netflix is just again wet the bed on. Like, why we don't get a third season of it? I don't know. But anyway, we have a right to know how their minds work. The FBI has a right to know how their minds work. We need to be able to decipher this stuff if we're going to stop them, because Lord knows that the legislatures in this country have no interest in restricting people like the Nashville shooter or the Allen, Texas shooter or the Uvalde shooter or the Sandy Hook shooter. They have no interest in stopping people like that from getting guns. And it's, I don't know, it's also a little bit suspicious that it is Republicans who are, I've never heard before, wanting to have these types of writings released. I've never once heard this debate before, where Republicans are like, we need to have those writings released. We need to see what they were thinking. But of course it is in this case, because that the Covenant shooting was a trans person who shot up the school. So they want to use the writings to further their agenda that trans people are dangerous, which is a tragedy. But I think the rest of us who are more discerning can be able to look at that and go, okay, well, maybe this is what happened. Like, honestly, I haven't read them, but I've read synopses of Adam Lanza, who was the Sandy Hook shooter. I've read synopses of his writings, and it did actually help me understand what a cuckoo nutbird he was, where he saw education as torture, and he thought he was freeing those children from a life of torture, which is insane, obviously, and crazy to even contemplate. But it helped me understand that and honestly made that whole situation something that I could hold in my hand and go, okay, that's why it is. And then I could set it down and not think about it anymore, which is, I think, what we need. It's a good thing to have. Understanding is power. It's Kyra Knights. Kyra Knights. How you doing, everybody? Happy Thursday. My name is Jonathan Weir, and I have a question for you, and you can answer it on the text line right now at 888-973-5476. That's 888-973-KYRO. By the way, I've got to mention this again because I discovered this the other day, and I found it fascinating. You can actually type the letters KYRO, like when you're typing a message, a text message to us, 888-973. You don't have to figure out the T9 KYRO. It's you literally just type the letters KYRO and it'll send us the text message. So 888-973-KYRO. Why aren't you having kids if you're a Gen Zer? If you are in Gen Z or a millennial, actually, I guess I should say. And that includes you, Max.
Yeah, I don't have any kids.
Why aren't you having kids? And here's another question. Are you a dinkwad?
Yes.
You are?
Well, probably the best excuse I got.
Okay, so the new study found that over half of Gen Zers and millennials, 51 and 52%, respectively, said that they live paycheck to paycheck, which is a 5% point bump from last year. So it's, believe it or not, getting worse as inflation goes up. That's crazy. And it's likely due in part to companies realizing that they can still squeeze record profits out of consumers without, you know, raising wages. That's just what life is like in this late stage capitalist society. Meanwhile, the cost of living remains the biggest concern for Gen Zs and millennials, with over a third of Gen Zs ranking it as a top concern, 42% of millennials saying the same. But a lot of them have said that they are not planning on ever having kids. Half of Gen Z and 47% of millennials said that they expect that starting a family is going to become harder or impossible. They're even more pessimistic about homeownership, with 61% of Gen Z and 62% of millennials say that they expect that that financial goal of owning a home is going to be difficult to impossible. Which also, you know, if you think about it, tracks with low birth rates. People have a negative view of the economy. It's hard to have any kind of optimistic take on the future. Now, as far as the low birth rates are concerned, other than the fact that it's happening because of negative things like the bad economy and inflation and the cost of living and not being able to buy a house, why is it such a bad thing if millennials and Gen Zs aren't having kids? Why is it such a bad thing? I mean, enough of them are that we'll still have people living. I'm technically a millennial. I've had kids. What'll happen if we don't repopulate? Will whales take over the earth or something? Will humans lose our supremacy? No, we'll be fine. And in fact, I'm in favor of people, especially my age, not having kids, because it makes life easier for my kids. Less competition for college, less competition for jobs, less competition for, well, people to have babies with, I guess, as well. Boyfriends and girlfriends. I guess the only downside is, what about the service industry? Who's going to be working? If everybody's going to be able to get a good job in the future because there's less competition and all of our kids are going to be able to excel in life, what about, you know, people flipping burgers and things like that? Well, it's going to be robots in a few years anyway. You don't need to worry about that. It's just going to be robots anyway. Yeah, that's exactly right. That was, by the way, a robot. A few people know that, but Tim Allen, robot. The Allen robot. Actually stands. The Allen stands for Allen wrench, which is what he was assembled with. I genuinely believe this, that kids make. Well, it's not true for everybody, but kids have made my life easier because I had a motivation issue before I had a son. And having a child made me a lot more motivated, a lot more ambitious, because I couldn't stand the idea of failing him and him living in poverty. And then I chose radio as a career path, and that all blew up in my face. So, but I do think that overall, for the right person, having kids is the best thing you can possibly do. But I don't think it's true for everyone. So I'm going to ask you guys again. Text line, 888-973-KIRO, 888-973-KIRO. If you're a millennial or Gen Zer, why haven't you had kids? Now, Max, I'll ask you, because you are more of a millennial than me. Is this something that's in your future, or are you planning on this?
No, I don't think...
And cut me off if it's too personal of a question. Honestly, I don't know you well enough to be asking about these things, but...
No, I don't have any children in my future. My mom probably hates me, and big fan of the show. And so I'm sorry, Mom. I just don't see it. I mean, and again, it's a financial thing. You know, this is my second job. Yeah. So
right.
it ain't easy out there. And unless you hit something big there, and I have friends who have gotten houses in the last few years, and their mortgages are, I don't know how they pay them.
At least half of their paycheck.
Over.
At least.
Over.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. I've never owned a house. I've always rented. And part of that is because of the industry I'm in radio. where I've never trusted myself to be able to have a job longer than my contract was, with good reason. But I honestly never have felt comfortable doing anything but renting, because if you rent, something happens, you just pick up and move on. It sucks because you have no equity. It sucks because then you can't sell your house and have a... I have a friend, James, who his house has doubled in value since he bought it. But he was lucky he got it fairly cheap, and now it's gone through the roof. But it's sad because that is the life for many of us.
Well, and it's not just... homeownership comes with a lot of variables involved. And when you're a renter, you don't have to worry about replacing the fridge, the pipes going bad, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. Once you get a home and, you know, tear down this wall, oh, there's mold under the flooring. It just keeps piling up. So that first purchase wasn't just the house. Now there's more to do. Once you're renting, you know, you can wipe your hands off a lot of things.
Yeah, I'll never forget this. One of the reasons I rent... By the way, we'll get to your texts from you guys in a minute. But one of the reasons I also rent is because one of my first jobs was in Gainesville, Florida, and we looked into like maybe buying a house, but then we looked at places to rent, and we rented a place. Initially, we signed a lease at a place that we did not know at the time was next to a... basically like a trap house. It was next to a drug den where there was random gunfire occasionally. And we found that out from people telling us and from reading reviews on the place. And because we were renting, and granted, a lease can be contractually binding, we were able to get out of it, though. Not so easy to do that with a mortgage. You can't. It's not that easy to go, hey, I didn't know that this place was next to, you know, a dystopian nightmare. So I don't want to own this house anymore. You can't really get out of that. You can with renting, and that's another reason I do it. But anyway, from the text line at 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO, I can barely pay for the food and the roof for myself. So yeah, I don't have enough money. Another texter says, the curse ends with me.
That's awesome.
That is so dark it made me laugh. And another one, I work with kids every day. I don't like them enough to take care of one 24/7. I like the part where I can just hand them back to parents when they cry, they crap themselves, and act like hamsters overdosed on coffee. I like that one because it had less to do with how crappy your life is and more about how much you just hate children. Except for the ones that you work with, hopefully. I'm not going to submit that number to the education department, but I don't know, maybe I should. It's Cover Nights. Kyra Nights, how you guys doing? I hope you're doing well. Finishing up some of the texts that we got on the show, because we were asking millennials and Gen Zers why they're not having kids. And here are three more that we... It's not just three that we got, but here's three more that I found interesting. They said, I'm way too lazy to raise a kid. Which, again, I love the honesty of it. But I will tell you that... For everybody saying, I wouldn't be able to do it, you also have to remember that biologically, you're kind of programmed to do it. And I'm not saying that it's the easiest thing in the world, but that stuff kicks in. And it really kicks in. Like, I'm too lazy. Like, don't be wrong. There's definitely horrible abuse of parents. But most people who think, I couldn't raise a kid because I'm too lazy, I wouldn't be able to keep up with their feeding schedule, you do. You do, because biologically, you're conditioned to really, really love this thing and really, really want it. You like, it's not that you love your kids, you fall in love with your kids, and you just really want to make them happy. Let's see, this is from Amy, says, I don't want to pass on my or my husband's mental health issues. That's actually the best reason I think we've heard so far.
Really big of her.
Yeah, to admit that, which is tough. It's tough. I have a friend that is the same way. My friend Will is the same way. He has said that I'm never going to have kids because he's got bipolar disorder and several other maladies. And he's like, I just am miserable, and I wouldn't be able to handle the fact that my kids are the same way. And I got to say, it is strange how much your kids take after you, whether you want them to or not. I tried to raise my kids to not have the crippling social anxiety issues that I have, and to an extent my wife has as well. But yet I still see it in my 14-year-old. He definitely has a lot of issues with just being shy and some issues with confidence. And I've done my best. And honestly, if anything, being a father has made me more forgiving of my own father. Because I used to blame everything on him, and now I'm like, I guess it's just genetic. I guess we just hate ourselves genetically. I wouldn't think that's something you could pass on, but I guess it is.
He's also grown up in the technological world. Like, we're on our phones more than ever. You know, that face-to-face communication just isn't nearly as
important.
You know, yeah, and it doesn't happen nearly as frequently.
But it's more like he's... You know, he's my son, so obviously I'm going to think this, but he's a good-looking kid, and I'm just like, so, you got, like, any girls or anything like that you're interested in? He's like, no, why would girls like be interested in me? And it's like, why, buddy?
I have acne, I got zits.
By the way, this is how he talks, which might be the bigger problem.
He talks like this.
But he's like, I got acne. I'm like, we live a block from your school. I see these kids walk by, buddy. Your acne's not that bad.
And they all have
I've seen worse. Yeah, they all have it. If anything, yours isn't. I mean, there's professional athletes that have it. Justin Herbert has acne, but for some reason is doing a skincare commercial. Marcus Smart.
Matthew Fitzpatrick.
For the Celtics. Matthew Fitzpatrick. They take Accutane. Some people have cystic acne. It's not that bad. It's all about confidence and... I don't know, it's tough to get that through to him. Finally, last one from the text line at 888-973. Cairo is from Sarah, who says, seriously, I forget to feed goldfish. I can't successfully grow houseplants, and you want me to grow a kid? No way. Again, I'm not saying that everybody should have kids. I'm not saying that you should try it and see if it works for you. If you don't want to have kids, I more than respect you. In fact, it makes my kids' lives easier because it's less competition.
She's going to get pregnant and forget to drink water.
That's what happens. They're going to dry up. You're going to forget to put the plant seeds down in there, the plant food down in there. You're not going to drink enough soil. But again, you're biologically conditioned to take care of these things. You would be shocked, especially... as a woman, how much of that stuff actually kind of kicks in and you just kind of figure it out. Again, I'm not saying it's for everybody, but I am saying that they're not that complicated, kids. Most of them are just paperweights that poop. That's it. And then they grow up and they talk to you and you have conversations with them and you can't get enough of them. And then they hit 14 and don't want to have anything to do with you because you talk about them on air and talk about how they have acne. And, you wish they were 6 years old again. But the cat's in the cradle and all that stuff. There should be a reverse of that song. Mm-hmm. That song's all about how the dad wasn't there for the kid, and then when the kid grows up and he's an adult, he doesn't have time for the dad. Should be I want a song where it's like the dad is trying his best. He's trying so hard to communicate with the kid, and the kid the whole time is just like, "Your dad, maybe. I don't care. I don't want to watch football." Yeah, but you used to love watching football.
And the song ends with him in the retirement home.
Yeah,
he never.
And that's when I knew it was time to pull the plug. Yeah, that's what I want. I just want a song about a dad who's not a jerk. Is that that hard? Just a dad who's trying his best. Enough songs about moms and how great they are. I just want one. I guess we'll do that for Father's Day, maybe an Elite Eight of best songs about dads. It'll be fun. Hey, coming up, we have the Doom Scroll, just a bunch of stories that I find fascinating. We're going to talk about how not only are you too broke to have children, apparently a lot of people are saying now they're too tired to even be healthy. You're too tired to take care of yourself. It's not even about money. It's just about just the wheezing collapse of your own body. We'll talk about that and so much more when we get to the doom scroll. Oh, Oscar Mayer. I think we hit on this a little bit yesterday, but I want to get into it a little bit deeper. Oscar Mayer, they're changing the name of the Wienermobile to something incredibly stupid.
Criminal.
It is. And I don't usually get upset about stuff like this. I understand companies change and things need to be different, but I suspect there are reasons for changing this. We'll talk about it next on Cairo Nights.